Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. This service is for July 4th, the week of July 4th, 2021. The message is entitled, Peter, an example of how the Lord changes lives. And we're going to be looking at various passages from the Gospels. For my call to worship, I've chosen part of a hymn. Praise Him for His grace and favors to our fathers in distress. Praise Him still the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Last week, we finished looking at Ephesians chapter 2, which focused on what it means for us to be the church. We're going to step away from Ephesians for the summer and get back to it in the fall. Today, I'm going to start with looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, which describes the church as built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. One of those apostles is the fisher Simon, whom Jesus gave the name Peter. In Matthew 16, 17 and 18, we read, Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Peter did become a key leader in the early church. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Peter's preaching was instrumental in the numerical and spiritual growth of the church, laying the foundation for future believers, including ourselves. Even so, Peter would insist that God alone deserves all the praise and glory for what he has accomplished in Peter's life. Before he met Jesus, Peter likely thought he was doing the most that he could with his life given his circumstances. Wow, did meeting Jesus ever change that? We are going to look at a variety of lake-centered events in Peter's life, which Jesus used to teach and develop Peter into a rock he could build his church upon. First passage is from Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11 introduces us to Simon Peter while he was still fishing. In verses 1 to 3, Peter is in the background, a minor character in the story, like a doorman or a taxi driver in a drama. In this case, he's the owner and operator of the boat Jesus is using as a floating pulpit to teach people crowding the shoreline. However, when Jesus finishes teaching, our attention is directed towards Simon as Jesus asks to be taken fishing. It is as if Jesus says, "Now show me what you're good at. What's important to you?" Peter explains that their hard work the previous night hadn't resulted in any fish, suggesting expectations should be very low for a daytime attempt. However, something about Jesus made Peter willing to assemble his gear and crew and head out with his fishing boats to go fishing. When Peter saw that by following Jesus' instructions, they had caught more fish than his nets or his boats could hold, he knew God was at work through Jesus. Verse 8 says, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.'" In this encounter, Peter saw Jesus as master and himself as a sinner, unworthy of Jesus' attention, so he warns Jesus away. But rather than being deterred, Jesus tells Peter not to be afraid, but to join him, this time in fishing for people, and Peter did. This is where each of us needs to begin, with a realization of our own sin and a recognition that Jesus is here to help. Our journey begins as we stop running from Jesus and start learning to walk with him. The second passage is from Matthew 17, 24 to 27. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." From this encounter, Peter, who had caught many fish, learned the impactful lesson that Jesus, as the Son of God, is our provider. God promises to provide for us and encourages us not to obsess over possessing material things because he knows what we need. He tells us this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. How are you learning to trust Jesus as your provider? In Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, we have another lesson that Peter learns at the lake. It's wonderful that there's so much here that Jesus uses and teaches Peter through what he's familiar with on the lake. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. "Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." In this encounter at the lake, a storm beyond the skills of professional fishermen threatens to sink the boat until Jesus scolds the wind and waves, calming everything down and amazing his disciples. Here, Peter sees his own fear in contrast to Jesus' ability and his desire to protect them. How often does Jesus use a storm in your life to teach you the same lesson? That he is with you. He is willing to protect you. Are you placing your faith in him? Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 23 is another passage from the lake. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray by himself. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter has come to trust Jesus for the impossible, enough so that he is willing to get out of the boat and walk on the water if Jesus invites him to join him. Here he learns what happens when we take our eyes off Jesus and instead focus on the storm. Each one of us will encounter storms in this life. The question is, are you going to stop? Are they going to stop you from stepping out in faith with Jesus? If not, if you keep your focus on him rather than on your problems. When someone asks, "How are you?" who's the subject of your response? Is it yourself? Do you focus on your problems? Or is it on your Lord? The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, 12 and 13, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." There's one more story for us today. John chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. John 21, 1 to 17. "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them. And they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now, this was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." After Jesus' resurrection, Peter decided to go fishing. After fishing all night without catching anything, he saw Jesus standing on the shore. Jesus told him to throw his nets on the other side of the boat, and when he did, he and the others caught more than they could handle. Back on shore, Jesus ate with Peter and recommissioned him as his apostle. From this encounter, Peter saw Jesus as his very purpose for living and himself as a servant. This was Peter's final lesson around the lake before Jesus returned to his Father. Peter has been changed. He is now willing to submit to the Lord's will and lead in humility. Peter continued to learn and grow as he continued to keep his eyes on Jesus and trust in him alone. How about you and I? Have you met Jesus and accepted his invitation to do what you do under his guidance, to allow him with his help to take it to the next level, to be blessed by him? It begins by recognizing that you are broken, that you are a sinner in need of help, as Peter did, and realizing that Jesus is not repulsed by that fact. Rather, that is why he's come, to help you, if you will trust him to. Next, realize that Jesus' goal is for you to not only follow him, but for you to learn from him and grow to become like him. That's key. Jesus has come not just so you can follow him, but that you can learn and grow and become like him. As you do this, you will bring glory to God the Father. How does Jesus do that in your life? By using the school of life, teaching you to depend upon Him, by showing you He is worthy of your trust, even in life's most challenging situations. He will not abandon you. You can survive and grow through whatever comes. Notice I didn't say He would remove every difficulty. I said He would go through it with you and enable you to grow more like Him as you do. In closing, listen to these words from the Apostle Peter's first letter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Amen. For the benediction, let me read from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, from the Contemporary English Version. "Let the wonderful kindness and the understanding that come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ help you to keep on growing. Praise Jesus now and forever. Amen." Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today.